Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to hear it real well because it's been years since I heard that song and I really didn't know it. But you know what? I truly thank God for that song because we go through a lot and God is always there. He is always there. First, I'd like to give honor to God, to His Son, Jesus Christ, the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. To each and everyone here named by name, I'm indeed glad to be here. I thank and I praise God for life, health, and strength. I thank and I praise God for truly He is a good God. He's a merciful God. He is a loving God. And I just want to say, Lord, I thank You for being God, for being who You are, not forgetting about us, loving us in spite of. And I just thank and I praise God for that. Is Brother Dion? Is Bishop on? Okay, Brother Darvis, Brother D, Bishop on? Okay. So it looks like nobody's with me right now, so we're just going to go ahead with our message on today. Father God, right now in the name of Your Son, Jesus, Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your blood that You keep us covered with each and every day of our lives. Father God, I thank You for Jesus. I thank You for blessing us, sending Your only begotten Son to die so that we may live. Father God, I thank You for this Christmas season. Father God, giving us another chance to celebrate the birth of Your Son, Jesus Christ, which we should celebrate and thank You for every day of our life. Because of Your Son, Jesus, and dying for our sins, now we can live. We will rise again and be with Him. Glory be to God for eternity. And, Lord, I just want to thank you. Father God, I give you praise, God. Every day of my life, I give you glory, Lord. Father God, and truly I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one that came on tonight, Father God, and ask you to bless each and every one. Open up their ears, open up their hearts to your word. Father God, and ask you to continue to bless us. Father God, bless me, Father God, as your word go forth, that I may decrease, that you may increase. Father God, and I thank you, and I praise your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, and thank God. Lord, I thank you. We are going to talk tonight about chastisement. Glory be to God. We're going to talk tonight on chastisement. Lord, and I thank you. Glory be to God. Brother Dahl, if you're there, Bishop has already said he's not being received. I don't know if he pressed the one button or not, but I'm just relaying the message he's on, but he is not being received. So I hope you hear me, Brother Dahl. Okay, we're going to talk, go ahead with our message on today, and we're going to talk about chastisement. Chastisement is a form of correction or punishment that aims to restore obedience and discipline. That is the Bible definition. Chastisement is a process of disciplining rebellious people.
Bishop is open now, Miss Mary. Bishop is open.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. Obedient and restored. A parent disciplines a child for their own good, to keep them on the straight and narrow, that they won't go wrong. They're doing what they can to direct their children in the way they should go. For an example, the Lord chastised David for his sin with Bathsheba. He just chastised David by taking that baby that Bathsheba had. See, when God is not pleased with us, when he is unsatisfied with us, he let us know it in some form of chastisement. God does not appreciate his people who know him and know his way and know what we have to do. When he tells us something, we don't do it. We don't listen. We don't obey him. And when he gets tired of us and our disobedience, he will chastise us. For he said in his word, whom I love, I chastise. And I'm trying to get my verse because I did write it down. Some verses I just have to write it down so I can get it and remember it. But it was in Revelation. Glory be to God. Forgive me because I'm still trying to see. I did write it down because I know some things I have to write so that I can remember it and give it to you. It's on Revelation in the third chapter, I believe it was. But God said, whom I love, I chastise. And as I was thinking early this morning, as I was taking a shower, Lord, what you want me to do today? And this is what he gave me to give to y'all today. And I'm being perfectly truthful. I didn't get that good old studying time, but one thing I do know, there isn't anything that God cannot do. When he said, give my word, if you open your mouth, I speak for you, that's exactly what he'll do.
Amen.
Oftentimes, I think about Brother D and I laugh. When God says something, he is not going to go back on his word. He will not go back on his word. So he said, whom I love, I chastise. Glory be to God. So in the process of all of this, he gave me to go to the book of Jonah. Glory be to God. If you remember, before we get into Jonah,
Hebrews 12 and 6 says that, Bucky. It says in Hebrews 12 and 6. Hebrews 12 and 6 says, whom he loved, he chastised.
Amen. Read the whole verse for me.
I can't. I'm driving. I'm in bad weather. Bishop, can you? I'm rare. Tearing up stuff right here. I can't tell. I can't keep my eyes off the street.
Okay, that's
how
long we'll see people. Come take your eyes off the road. Ain't he one of you to be around so I can talk to you another day? Okay, and I have it. The one I had read a little different, but we're going to go ahead and read the one you just gave us, Hebrews 12 and 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastises and scourges every son whom he receives. Glory be to God. See, when we are children of God, don't you think, and let me tell you something. God don't physically whoop us, but he whoops us. And he sometimes, when we go so wrong, he whoop us so good, we be glad to go straight. Whom I love, I just love. So we're going to, and if you remember, Jesus chastised Peter all the time. Peter didn't understand, but whatever came to his mind, he was going to let it out. When Jesus said he was going to go away, he must die. Peter said, Lord, wherever you go, I go. You die, I'm going to die with you. And Jesus had to chastise Peter because Peter meant well, but Peter didn't know what he was saying. Glory be to God. So he would chastise Peter often, but he loved Peter because Peter was so zealous that he loved Jesus. He was very zealous. And whatsoever he felt like he could do for God, he was there to do it for Jesus. He was there to do it. So I thank God for that. But we're going to talk on Jonah today. You know, Jonah is one of my favorite books because Jonah is so like us today. So like we are today. Glory be to God. But now we're going to talk, and some of this I'm going to paraphrase, but I just want y'all to listen. And I'm going to try to stop in a timely fashion because I respectively asked for Brother D, Bishop, and Eric, Reverend Eric, to come after this, and we're going to discuss it. Also, we'll have the floor open for whosoever wants to come in and say something. You have the chance. But we're talking on the book of Jonah. Okay. And I'll be reading, but I'll be skipping here and there. Also, verse 1 said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, when God tells someone to go somewhere to preach, in this case, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach to that city because their sin is so great. See, God is a merciful God. God did not want to destroy Nineveh. So what he did, he told his servant, Jonah, to go and preach to that. See, our Bible let us know constantly that God is a merciful God. Because if it was not for his mercy, a lot of us would not be here. That's how much God loves you. He let us get away with so much. And our Bible tells us that his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth to all generations. He is a merciful God. I don't care what we go through. When God chastised us, we have did something to deserve it. And when we're going through, we want to say, well, I don't know why I'm going through this. Glory be to God. Now, Nineveh was a heathen city without the knowledge and worship of the true God. See, they didn't have the knowledge and they didn't worship the true God, so they really couldn't tell who they really did not know. So God wanted his word to be preached to the people in Nineveh so that they would have a chance to be saved. But their sin was so great. God told told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach to the people. And then the thing he told Jonah to do, see, God wants us to be loud with what we do for him. Glory be to God. He said, cry aloud and spare us. See, nowadays, when you loud, when you're talking about God and praising God and preaching his word, and you get loud, the people, like, they shrink back. They don't want to hear. But God said to Jonah, cry aloud and spare not. In other words, don't water down what I say. Tell him about God. Tell him what it takes to be saved. Tell them of God's grace. Tell them that if they don't turn from their wicked ways, they will go to hell. That's why he said, spare not. Glory be to God. Because when we are in so much sin and we hear the true word of God, uncut, you know how sometimes we try to dress things up to give it to people, but no, you can't always dress up that word. Sometimes people are so hard-hearted, you've got to give the word just as God has it written in this Bible. Glory be to God. Then he said, when he told the crowd, go in the streets, he said, don't whisper, don't try to talk softly. Glory be to God, but tell it and tell it loud. And then he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what God has to say to his prophet. Glory be to God against that wicked city. So God said, Jonah, go and preach. Tell them what thus say the Lord, because the wickedness is so great. But God showed mercy because they did not know him. As with even today, in this day and age, with all the Bibles that we have, all the preachers that we have, glory be to God, you still got somebody that don't know God by the pointing of their teeth. They don't know. And they comfortable in their sin. Glory be to God. So, what did Jonah do? Glory. Glory be to God. Listen. Jonah decided, well, I'm not going there. Who are we to buck against the Almighty God? Jesus said to Paul, it's hard to kick against the prince. How can you kick against the word of God? How can you kick against God himself? Who are you? But Jonah decided, I'm not going. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to hide from God where he can't find me, because I'm not going to go to Nineveh and preach to those wicked people. Let them be destroyed. I don't care. Glory be to God. And some of us saved people, glory be to God, can attest to some of that. God has told you something, and what you do, you're turning and went the other way. Because we make it up in our mind, we're going to do what we want to do, not understanding we must obey God, especially if we are a child of God. We got to obey them. We him. We can't tell God what to do. Who do we think we are? The maker of heaven and earth. The maker of man. The maker of woman. The maker of everything. The creator of everything that is in this earth. Everything is not in this earth. Everything is under this earth. God, all. Oh. So who are we to buck against him like Jonah did? So what did Jonah do in verse 3? He said, Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. Look at, listen, what is wrong with us when we think we can run away from God and he don't see us? Is he not the all-seeing God? The all-present God? The everlasting God? So Jonah went into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went off in the bottom of the ship and went to sleep. He was so satisfied that he was away from the presence of God that he wasn't worried. I'm going to go down here and I'm going to go to sleep. And when I make it to Tasha, I'm going on my way. But I will not be going to Nineveh. Glory be to God. And you know, I laugh. What's amazing about this? How in the world could he put it in his little mind that he could hide from God? Now, obviously, he was one of God's children, and he knew God. God told him to go preach the word to the people of Nineveh. He told him to go preach the word. So he was equipped. He was qualified. God had qualified him to do the work. But he did not. What? So he went down into the ship and went to sleep. And our Bible let us know that God sent out a great wind. It didn't say just a wind. It said a great wind into that sea. A mighty tempest. You know, God was a little upset with his brother. God sent out such a wind that the people on the ship was afraid that they was going to die. And Jonah, where was he? Just like Jesus was when the disciples was on the ship and the wind was tossing and they thought they was going to die. Jonah was down asleep. The people on the ship, they thought they was dying. They was fixing to die. And they went down and they woke Jonah. How can you sleep on a time like this? See, God had to fix it where they would be. They didn't get upset with Jonah, but he had to fix it where they would understand that Jonah was the cause of it. Jonah was the cause of them going through all of this turmoil because he disobeyed God. Now listen, this is getting to God chastising Jonah for his disobedience. For him being rebellious against him. For him deciding for himself, I don't care what God say, I'm not going. That's why we have to be careful. We cannot decide for ourselves, Bishop, that no matter what God say, I'm going to go do what I want to do.
Amen.
The decision is not ours. It's not our decision. It's not the decision. Don't you know that, Bishop?
Amen.
Don't you know that, Bishop? It's not your decision. The decision was made when God said go. It was not up for discussion. Do you for 1 second think that God got to discuss a decision with you? No, he don't. No, he don't. And I thank God. Because I was taking a shower, Lord, what you going to give me for this evening? I'm going to show you how God do things. He gave me this scripture in the bathtub. Then I was rushing, had to be at work at 7:30 in the morning. Getting to work, didn't have time to study anything. But you know what I remember all the time? God said, if you just open your mouth, I will speak for you. God will give you what you need to say. Glory be to God. That comes from a studying bishop all the time. That's why Brother Paul said to Brother Timothy, study to show thyself approved. So
Amen.
How can you show yourself approved if you don't never study the word? God
That's
can't
right.
use you if you don't ever study the word. So Jonah knew that word. But he was being rebellious against the Almighty God. So Jonah finally convinced them, and I'm making it short, I'm skipping some stuff, because finally convinced the people to throw him off into the sea. He told them, I am the reason you're going through this. Throw me into the sea, and you will see everything will be all right. So what did they finally do? They had to throw him into the sea. Now, let's go back just a little bit because I'm going to start reading at 17, but I want to go back a minute to 15. No, let's go back to verse 14 because they didn't want to throw Jonah into the sea. But I got to go back to 12. He says, and this is Jonah talking to, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea become unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon me. Don't you know God will fix it where your conscience will not give you peace when you disobey him? Nevertheless, the men kept on rowing. They was trying. They wanted to try to save Jonah. They could not understand why he wanted to be thrown into the sea. These people didn't know God. These people served idol God. Then they turn around in verse 14, so wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord. They began trying to pray to God himself. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. They turn around and start praying to Jonah's God for their own life. So let us not perish for this man's life and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. These are people that didn't even know God, but they knew, they heard Jonah talking. Jonah told them about this God. Throw me in the sea and everything will be all right. So they could miss the plan. So what they do, they took Jonah up, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. The sea immediately Glory be to God. Our Bible tells us that Jesus walked up on that deck and spoke to the sea and he said, peace, be still. And the sea immediately calmed. And this is what happened to Jonah. The sea immediately calmed. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now, this is the part, verse 17. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Glory be to God. 3 days and three nights. Now, if we go over to... Oh, my goodness, I was so busy writing. I was so busy writing until I thought I wrote this down, and I did not. But in Matthew, the book of Matthew, is where Jesus called that fish a whale. Jesus called it a well. Glory be to God. But in the book of Jonah, it says that God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Glory be to God. So now, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. See, after the fish was swallowed Jonah up, let me tell you something. That fish was actually Jonah's grave. Jonah could not have lived in that fish if God had not allowed him to have breath or air down in that fish belly. Glory be to God. God breathed air into Jonah. He did not want to kill Jonah. He wanted to punish Jonah for his disobedience, for his rebelliousness. He didn't want to. He could have killed Jonah without putting him in the fish belly. But he punished Jonah. He chastised Jonah for his disobedience against God. Glory be to God. So now he threw Jonah in the fish belly. And Jonah said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried, and thou heardest my voice. See, Jonah really get a taste of what it is to turn to go against the will of God. See, at this time, Jonah looked conscious, had awakening. Glory be to God. And a storm raised. Nothing was turned it into a calm, but parting with the sin that occurred. The sin that Jonah had sinned against God. That was the only thing that would calm that sea was his repentance for what he had did. And the only thing he could do was to tell them to throw him into the sea, and the sea would calm. Glory be to God. For one thing, if God had wanted to kill Jonah, he would have did it. He didn't want to kill Jonah. That's why he provided air down in that fish belly where there was no air. But tell me something that God cannot do. That anything at all that God cannot do. So he cast him in that sea and allowed that fish. And if you notice, it said he prepared that fish strictly to swallow up Jonah and punish him for his disobedience. Punish him for trying to go against what God told him to do. Glory be to God. So God prepared that well for him. But let me tell you what God did also. Because Jonah was miraculously saved, and he could only be saved in that fish belly by the living God. Glory be to God. See, Jonah was angry with God, but see, God turned from his, and he showed mercy. So Jonah's life was saved by God's mercy. See, in the midst of his judgment against Jonah, he showed mercy. He remembered mercy. So now, that's the thing about it. David said he would rather fall into the hands of an angry God than the hands of angry men. In this case, God was angry, but he just wanted to discipline Jonah. He didn't want to kill him because, you know what? Jonah still had a job to do. That very job that he told him to do in the beginning of this lesson, Jonah still had a job to do. So God showed mercy to Jonah for trying to flee from his presence. And while he was trying to flee from the presence of God, he fell into the hands of the Almighty God. God prepared that fish to swallow him up. Glory be to God. He prepared that fish to swallow Jonah up. And this was not to kill him. This was to punish him. This was to punish him because he did not do what God had told him to do. He wanted to run. And that's what happened to us. When God tells us something to do and we don't do it, and then all havoc break loose and nothing can get us out of that situation until we turn to God and repent of our sin and ask him to have mercy on you and forgive you. Glory be to God. Don't you think he did not break Jonah down? Because he did. Jonah was in that fish's belly 3 days and three nights, just like Jesus. Matthew 12:44, and Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. This is Jesus talking. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Glory be to God. So he was there for 3 days and three nights. Can you imagine being in the belly of that whale, with that water coming up over your head and weeds and all of that stuff wrapping around your face? Glory. And the only thing that you can see is, I'm God going to let me dive in here. Glory be to God. But in all that Jonah was going through, Jonah began to pray to God. See, when times get harder, we know we have no way out. That's when we'll turn to God. Jonah began to pray unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I pray by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Look at God. God was upset with Jonah. But because of his love for us, once we begin to ask his forgiveness, he'll hear you, he'll heard, hallelujah, and show mercy to you. Said, and he heard me out of the belly of hell cry, and I heard his mother. Don't you know God can hear you no matter where you are? He put Jonah in there to chastise him and for him to turn from his rebelliousness, from his disobedience, because he disobeyed God and had the nerve, had the audacity to try to run and hide from the living God. But once he turned and began to pray, God showed mercy on Jonah. And Jonah was not content. Glory be to God. Can you imagine? I can imagine in my heart how Jonah began to worship God. Hallelujah. This was a moment of divine mercy. And you know what? In all that Jonah went through, all that punishment that Jonah went through, all that chastisement that Jonah went through, Jonah came out a perfect creature. Glory be to God. When that fish, when that whale threw him up on the coast, our Bible said he was a three-day journey. Hallelujah. From Nineveh. I can imagine Jonah shouting and praying and thanking God for his grace and for his mercy. Our Bible tells us that he made Nineveh, that three-day journey, in one day. Glory be to God. You tell me God won't change you and make you do what he say do. Because he let us get away with some things, we seem to think that God cannot do anything. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God can do everything. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He fled to Nineveh. He went to Nineveh, and that young man cried out loud, like God said, and he spared not and gave them the word of God. Glory be to God. And they turned from their ways and sat in sackcloth and ashes and repented of their sin. Glory be to God. That king called a fast on everything, even the animals. Glory be to God. Jonah preached, so they began to understand who God was and turn from their wicked ways, and they began to repent and call on the Almighty God. Glory be to God. And look at Jonah. You know God has to love us to put up with us. Look at Jonah. Got upset because God didn't destroy Nineveh. See, that's the mercy of God. I don't care how wicked or how bad you are. When you repent of your sin with sincerity and faith, glory be to God, God will turn his anger into and show mercy on you. That is the God that we serve. And don't you think for one moment, I'm getting ready to close now, don't you think for one moment that God will not chastise you today. And he chastises us because he loves us. He loves us. Even in our wrongdoing, he gives us a chance to turn on. All we got to do, put ourselves where we can get the word of God. Get into that Bible and believe. The song said, only believe, all things are possible if you only believe. And the people of Nineveh believed. They believed the preaching of God. Glory be to God. See, God makes you. Look. He was running from God, and God let the fish swallow him up. God didn't have to worry about Jonah no more because Jonah called on God. He turned and he called on God for God to save him out of that fish. Glory be to God. He saw how wrong it was, how rebellious it was. He saw the fault in his own ways by trying to run from God. Glory be to God. He was in distress, and he turned from his ways, and he began to call up on God. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord out of the belly of hell, and the grave cried. Glory. And he did not cry in vain. He cried out to God with everything that was in him, and God heard him. Glory be to God. God heard his voice. He heard the voice of his affliction. Glory be to God. Can you imagine being in the deep at the bottom of the sea in the belly of a whale? That was punishment for disobedience. And you see how he turned back to the Almighty God for God to save him. Glory be to God. And once God was satisfied with his repentance, once he was satisfied that Jonah was going to do exactly what he had told him to do, he allowed the fish to spit him up. Glory, hallelujah. He did not have to tell Jonah to go anymore. Jonah was all set to go then. He went and he preached to Nineveh and turned all of them from their wicked ways. So don't you tell me that God cannot change you. Don't you think that God will not chastise you because you get away for so many years. Just pray that God shows mercy and not anger. Glory be to God. Pray that even in his anger, he would turn that anger back to mercy. That is the God that we serve. A God that chastises, punishes, and love. Overall, he loves us because we are here. Glory be to God. At this time, the floor is open, but I'm going to do it a little different. If anybody want to speak, you can, but in a minute. I'm opening this floor up with this message to Bishop, to Reverend Eric. If Reverend Eric is on, I will ask for him first because he might have to go back to work. So who am I hearing next?
This is Eric right here now.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay, Reverend Eric. I wanted you to hear this message. And I wanted you, Bishop and Devo, I want you all to give your thoughts on this message.
You said it. You gave it a really good exposition on it, you know, and how to explain God when you don't follow what he asks you to do. When God gives you an assignment, you know, trust me, he know what it's going to take for you to accomplish it and complete the assignment. When you think about it, you don't like somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't like him. He didn't like the way, and you explained it well. He didn't like the way God, and he know God got so much love. He'll forgive them for their wrong. And you told him right. You know, I ain't saying we explained all that, but I like how you say about chastising. You know, there's some things God wants us to do as a believer. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't even have to be a deacon. When God gives you something and you don't do it, mm-hmm. He will chastise you. And I'm telling you, you don't want to chastise on God. You don't want to chastise on God. Because that could be a spiritual thing that you never exposed in your life. Somebody told me when exposed is experiencing something, man, that's a whooping that God can put you, the doctor can't get off. You can go to the doctor.
Come on, man.
And he looked there, and he got all the things, the medication normally will fix this system. All it is an antidote. But what God does, nothing can wash it off. Only thing can make a move if you repent. Repentance gives
mm-hmm.
God her attention. And surely they will
right.
be obedient. When you're obedient,
right.
there's sure enough coming in. The hardest thing for a believer, and I know because we all fall short of it sometimes, is to do it right every time. You know, sometimes we get
that's
stuck.
Right.
we get stubborn. We say, man, why he picked me? Why I got to be the one to say this here, you know? But God be for mm-hmm. you. He be, who can be against you if God be with
That's
you?
That's right.
Then, because he'd be more in the world than ever against you. That's what I wanted to add to that. You already explained it well, you know.
Praise God. I just wanted to get y'all's thought on this message. And I thank God for you. I told Debo I could call him and tell him I need him on there because I want it before I open up to the people who may or may not say anything. I knew
God
that the three of you all would give something on the message.
God bless you.
Because no matter how much I say, y'all can bring something in. That the people
I love
need.
How, I love, sister, and what I love how when the Bible. Bible said, earn, sharp and erring, you know. I love mm-hmm. that. Yeah, good work.
And I love what
good
you
work.
Said about. I love what you said about. When God puts sickness on you for your disobedience, I don't care how many doctors you go to, they cannot find a cure. The cure for your illness is repentance.
That's it.
Turn back to God.
That's it.
That's such a true statement. And, you know, I hadn't thought about that. And I was listening when you said, oh, my God, that is so true. There is no medicine. No doctor can cure you if God don't want you healed.
Yeah. Until, and sister, until he repented, it was still a burden.
That's right.
It was a burden.
That's right.
No one could move it. And he knew. You know, one thing about a believer, anybody walking with God, they know when God is in the midst of it. They know it. We don't
That's
blame
right.
the devil because we know once you, and like you just said, I think Brother D said too, once you study to show yourself approved, there's, God will give you a discernment when he's correcting you. God will give you a discernment. You won't tell that that's the devil. Nuh-uh. If it is, God uses him. He allows him. But,
that's right. That's
God
the only way
he
can.
When God does it, you know, I don't want to go to Job right quick, but when God does it, God will look at it, and the devil can't do nothing. But he'll torment you because he was a great example. He took him all the way down, we'll say today, to what, like A's. You know, it was so bad, that, and you know the story. They couldn't even go up to them because he would contaminate them. And I like this part of it, though, sir, that they couldn't remove it, though. Until God,
mm-hmm.
until God said, you know, the devil thought he had him.
That's
yeah,
right.
he couldn't. Yeah, Jonah was a good man, but just sometimes you think about how people do you know, how they treat
mm-hmm.
God, and you wonder how God took a man named Saul and made him change his name Paul and wrote 13 epistles, what we're gonna call the book. And God, and you trying to tell me God won't use somebody? Yes, He will.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will. He can take the worst of you and use you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. We're going to thank Reverend Eric. I know I call you Brother Eric, but he is Reverend Eric. But
God bless you.
I thank God for Brother Eric giving his word on his comments on this lesson. Because I know that the preacher understands.
God
the word of God. Glory be to God. And I thank God for that. Now, I'm going to call Bishop Debo. You hang on. I ain't forgot you. Bishop.
Amen. You know, I thank the Lord for this. I thank the Lord for this message. I agree with my brother, with Reverend Eric. I agree with him. I was thinking when he was talking, I was thinking about Twinkie Clark's song, the song that said, Accept.
Yeah.
There is nothing that we can pray off you if God don't want it off you. If
that's
God,
come on now.
And to even go back into the scripture a little bit, I was thinking about Jonah had an issue with them Ninevites.
That's what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
You know, just like people like we are in the church today, you might as well go
mm-hmm.
put it out there. Just like
church
we are
God.
In the church today, if God. You don't follow my little regiment, I got an issue. I got an ought with you. And Jonah
Come on,
had an
issue against them Ninevites. He wanted God to destroy them. The Lord told him, I want you to go to Nineveh and cry loud against that great city.
Mm-hmm.
That boy said, look, I ain't going. He went.
Ain't going nowhere.
And that boy, look at it, just like we are in the church. See, that's not the popular streak. When you do what God said, it's not the popular. You won't be popular with everybody. Y'all know how we want to go forward with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not popular when you go do what God said do. See, God's way is the only way, not just the best way.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way. Except what God allowed. And look, that boy went and got him a ticket and went somewhere else, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Going to Nineveh,
he thought you were going somewhere else.
Didn't know that the master of disaster, the king of kings, the Lord of lords, the God Almighty, the great I am, did not know.
God.
See, he went running. He did not know that I am was there.
Yeah.
All right, now.
He did not know that the wheel in the middle of a wheel was there.
Yeah.
He did not know that that Tishkanush was there. Y'all got started in here.
Yeah.
And when he got there, the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow that fish. See, I don't care who you are and where you are. God got a place that he'll put you in. He'll allow you to get in so he can teach you.
So he is loving you.
Even though he was in the belly of that fish, there wasn't no fish fry going on down there. Wasn't no hush puppies down there.
Come on.
He had to fast them 3 days he was there. Because, see, God will put in a situation where you got to talk to him. And when he was there, you can't run. You can't hide. See, sometimes God will let somebody go into prison just so he can talk to
him.
So you'll quit
running. Yes, he will.
There you go.
And then when God starts speaking, God speaks the only way. I heard Auntie say something in the message. See, this is what David said. David said, I'm not going to put my hand on someone God has anointed.
Yes,
we will put our mouth on somebody God has anointed.
Come on now.
I preached Sunday, and my text was Sunday, was mind your own business and find you a God that you can do his business.
All right.
Jesus. All right, now, Bishop.
So many people running around here pointing the finger at Bishop T.D. Jakes.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. At some point, God had anointed that man.
Still there?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, ye that are strong.
That confirms other weak.
Such a one in the spirit of what?
You never know why God let him fall. It might be to bring him up a little higher, but sometimes God has to
bring you down.
There could
be some other people out there, and he allowed this to happen so they can see that I don't care how high you get up this ladder.
My God.
I'm still there waiting on you. See, the prodigal son had to realize this too, Auntie.
Mm-hmm.
And the father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me. See that Brother Dogs and got me started. I told Brother Dogs to leave me alone.
No, you didn't.
This is the thing. I said Sunday. He probably allowed this to happen to Bishop Jakes. So some that had only eyes on Bishop Jakes can see him now.
God. My God.
Amen.
Awesome now.
Amen.
You
never know. God might have just did that to bring him down, to open his eyes.
Look
yeah.
at Joseph.
But if people...
I'm sorry. Y'all got me started. You got my hair growing back now.
Yes,
okay,
that's
but
it.
Look at Joseph.
Go ahead.
Joseph's brothers were so jealous of him.
Yeah, they did.
They threw him in a pit. Sometimes people are going to throw you in a pit. But don't waddle in your mess. Even like the prodigal son said, he said, look, how many hired servants my father has?
My father has.
And I'm here eating the husk. That the swine didn't eat.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
eating what they eat.
My God.
He said, I'm going to go back to my father. And I'm going to ask my father to make me as one of his servants. I'm no longer worthy
yes,
to be called his son.
Mm-hmm.
But make me as
Amen.
One of your servants. And
Amen.
This is what I love about God. God don't forget you. We forget people, but God don't.
God don't forget you.
The
he remembers you. That's so true.
Looking. They got an event going on, but the father's standing looking. He said, wait, ain't that my boy right there? He said, go get him. Put him, what, the scripture said he fell on his neck. In other words, he hugged him. When he hugged his son, he told him, he said, put a robe on him. The robe is symbolic of his authority. Put a robe on it. Put a ring on it. That which was lost is now found. When the oldest brother come back and was upset, he told everything I got is yours. But your brother has returned. We got to be just like that. Look at when Jonah finally realized, I can't do it Jonah's way. I can't run Jonah's work. I got to run the work of the Almighty God. And then when he heard this thing, and this thing soaked into Jonah's head, Jonah made a three-day journey in one day.
Yes, he did. Amen. Thank you, Bishop.
It's time for us to redeem the time. Quit being mad at somebody. Quit being upset
That's
all
right.
the time. Quit letting the sun go down on your wrath.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to hear
Amen.
God.
Amen.
It's time out hearing people, but it's time to hear God. And I love this thing so because the fact that Jonah obeyed God, so many Ninevites were saved that day.
Amen. Yes, it was. Thank you
and
for that, Bishop. We got a good Debo his turn.
I'm sorry.
Amen.
No, no,
come on,
brother. Amen. I enjoy hearing my brothers, my cousin. I can sit there all day and just let him speak. You know, it's funny. This message came because I think on what we had last night about chastising. God has truly shown me. Chastising in many ways. You know, if you look at a young man that was on the road to Damascus, knocked him down and blinded him. It was chastising. When Monty spoke on the fish took him down. That was chastising him. I'm going to tell you all something. I would rather for my God to chastise me, take his hands off me. As long as his hands is on me, I can withstand that he give me, because if he whip me, he going to bless me. I'd rather for me chastise me and take his hands off me. God is truly good to us.
Yeah.
He's so merciful. He's so kind to us. But we have to. We have to do his will in order to flourish in his will. Say it again. We have to do God's will if we want to flourish in his will. God's not going to force no man. He never have, and he never will.
If you just serve and do his will, he'll do. That's what his promised man, he'll do.
Amen.
Our brother Sutton whipped me and take his hands off me.
Amen.
I heard a bishop say it. I heard Brother Ramirez say it. That's it.
Go on.
I was saying, I heard all three of you all say, he went running. He ran and ran down. The Bible says he ran down the bottom of the ship. He didn't just get on board. He ran the bottom of it. He really thought he was hiding, didn't he? Look what he told me.
He thought he was hiding?
If you take me up top and throw me overboard. He knew when he ran to hide, he really knew he could hide. But one thing I learned to love is that when the fish spit him out, a three-day journey, cut in half.
Well, you know what's funny?
He went running for God.
That's true. You know what's funny, Devo? He called himself hiding from God, and God helped him.
Man.
He put him off in that fish belly, and he hid him from him.
Saved him. Right. Saved him.
So, God, we got to understand God loves us and he shows mercy, but he expects us to obey him. He expects us to obey him.
That's why I said to you, I'd rather somebody whip me and take his hands off me.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Now, I got Brother Eric, Brother Dexter on for commentary. But now the floor is open for anyone who have a question or who want to add something to that, who, if you don't know about Jonah and the whale, you can ask the question. So the floor is open. And just press the 1 button. And Brother Dahl, we get you over to me and we will acknowledge you. Amen. But this message was one awesome message, Brother D, Brother Eric, Brother Bishop, Reverend, and Brother D. This was one awesome message, and I have no idea why God spoke and said, do Jonah, and even gave me the special chastisement. He had a reason for that. And for whose ears need to have heard that? I know you heard it. Glory be to God. See, Brother Eric, I like what you were saying last night. You said, I believe in whooping mine. And getting them to go straight. I mean, you can whip them. You got to beat them half to death. But I'm not going to bring that stuff into this. But this is what God gave me as a rebuttal to everything.
Because
while we're concerned about us and our children and how we're going to chastise them, get into the Bible and let God show you how to chastise.
That's it.
See? When God's people do wrong, God will chastise you. I heard one time Brother Eric said he was in jail. Then the next thing he said he had started preaching. You see how God will set your butt down, get you out of all that mess you in, and make you hear him? Preach you where you won't have no choice, won't you, Brother Eric?
That's it.
You won't have no choice. And that is the thing is, whatever he went to jail for, that's not my concern, but whatever he went, I bet you when he got out, he got to know God.
I can tell you what he went for. He didn't see it then. He went for God. Because God had, like you just said, God had sit him down and clean him up. He went for the master. It's been over 20 years now. Ain't give him a hand. Ain't God good? We're on self-enjoy right now. It's been over 20 years now.
He's still running for the Lord. Yeah. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah, put the way you don't have no choice but to hear.
That's it.
Amen for that. And you know, when you're working for God, I don't care who you are, man, woman, or girl, when you're working for God, you're going to go through something.
I'm telling you.
Because can nobody tell you something if they haven't experienced anything?
That's good teaching there.
You got to go through stuff in order to understand it so that you can give it to somebody else and make them understand and bring them to God. I cannot tell you what God will do to you if I have not experienced it. I'm here to tell you, he laid me out on the floor for days. It looked like I wasn't going to ever get up. So when God chastises you, it's not because he don't love you. He chastises you because he do love you and he wants you to be with him. He wants you to live eternally. That lowers you on this earth and you got a job to do, you better do it. A lot of people laugh at how they run from God. God told me this and I didn't do it. It took 15, 20 years. God may not have chastised you yet for it. But don't you think you done got away? When the time comes, you'll get it. Yeah, you can go ahead.
I got to step off. You know, this you know, I got to go take care of some business. But I want to tell you that this is, you might not believe it, but I got to say it. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I love you, and you can't do nothing about it.
We love you, too.
I got to step, though. You know, I told somebody that one time, you know, they told me recently, and I ain't going to do nothing about it. All right, man. I love y'all, family.
All
so, right. Man, thank you for coming on.
No problem. All right. Bye.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Auntie, can I say something to Brother Dog? I want him to know that he had been a blessing to somebody, and they called me back today.
Oh. Okay, well, Brother Dog, are you there to hear? Brother Dog.
Under the norm, he's at the racetrack.
If I can't, that's why I can't. Yeah, I can't. I hear you, but I can't. I got noise.
Oh, okay. Let him get in. Go ahead, Bishop. Go ahead and tell him.
Brother Dog, you remember the young man that you sent $100 to help him pay his school fees and everything? The young man called me today to tell you thank you, thank you, thank you. He said
You didn't tell how much I sent.
And well, you sent some other stuff too, so I ain't even gonna tell that. But thank the Lord, the young man, they offered him a job at the college.
Look at Jesus.
And he told me today he gonna take the job. He said, let everybody know I thank them for all that they did to help me to get to where I'm at. He said, it may not seem like a lot to nobody else, he said, but to start out with $86,000 a year to start is a good start for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, that's just the heart that our brother got. He has such a big heart that he will try to help any and everybody that he can. And
amen.
And I think a lot of people that he knows, in all truthfulness, could tell you how much Brother Dalton has done.
Amen.
Because I know he has helped me.
Amen.
So truly, I thank God for Brother Donald because he has such a big heart. And thank you for that. I thank my three guest speakers for coming on and commenting on the message on today. And I know somebody got something out of the message, and I thank God even for you being on, each and every one of you. I thank God each and every day I remember to thank God for you all, each and every one, the ones I know, the ones I don't know. I remember to thank God for you, for taking time out of your time to come on and hear a word from God. So at this time, if that will be all, Brother D, give your announcement.
You can hear me, G. Again, we want to thank God for the day. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. I want to invite you all on tomorrow. We have a service called God's Plan. Those that don't get enough on Wednesday or Tuesday, please come in. Fellowship with us will be led by Brother Eric. Now, Reverend Henry, I want to hear some more of God's word. You can get the honor of just the uncut truth in fellowship with us. We're no longer doing hog talk. Bishop, do you have it? I'm trying to drive here. It's a new number that we're under now.
I'm actually driving too.
Yeah. I'd love for you all to come
What number?
We got a new number that we're doing now. No longer on Blog Talk. We knew Blog Talk was going away, but God just prepared another way and blessed us to get something like Zoom, but it's not Zoom, but it's something like it. And we do a service on that now. I'm going to find it. I'm trying to drive here and watch people watch this road. Too much going on. Let me say this real quick. To the Lord's will, we'll be there tomorrow at the same appointed time. We will be posting it. Then, if you can't get enough there, you can always come back Tuesday if it's God's will. And the Lord said the same. We will be here until Blog Talk settles down. We will be on Tuesday, as always, giving you what the Lord has given us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is somebody saying something? Okay, I guess not. Brother Dex, Bishop, let me do my announcement. I want you to have prayers out.
Okay.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Be with us again on next Wednesday night for a time for reflection. And as always, God has a word for you. And I thank you, God, for each and every one that came out. And I pray that you receive in Jesus' name. Prayers out, Brother Dexter.
Father, we thank you right now, God.
Remember Brother Payne.
Amen. Father, we thank you right now, God. We thank you for all your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for what you're yet doing in this hour, God. And, Lord, we have stopped for a moment to pause, and we ask you to touch Brother and Sister Fan. Touch them right now, God. Strengthen their bodies, God. Oh, God, we know that all things work together for the good, for your good, God. Not for our good, but for your good. Lord, I ask that you touch him from the crown of his head, God, to the sole of his feet, God, that you anoint him like never before, God. Oh, God, he loved you. He loved you with his whole heart, mind, soul, and body, God. Lord, do a work in him right now, and we know you can do it, God. And, Lord, we ask that you go with all of the bereaved families, God. Lord, and even the family where the young man just took his life on yesterday, God. Oh, God, go with the families right now, God. Lord, we ask that you touch these young people out here, God,
that's going into judgment, God, that's killing themselves because they're tired of life, God, because they're depressed, God. We ask that you touch right now, God. We ask that you move the spirit of depression, God. And, Lord, give them a spirit of joy. Fill them with your Holy Ghost, God. Fill them right now, God. Oh, God, and we thank you right now for this beautiful service, God. We thank you for Auntie how she taught this message out of her heart, God. And, God, we ask that you restore her, God, that you touch her body, God. Oh, God, we ask Brother Dion here, touch his body, God. Oh, God, strengthen him like never before, God. Oh, God, Brother Dog on here, touch him right now, God. Continue to bless his heart, God. Continue to keep him strong, God. Oh, God, we ask that you keep his body well, God. Reverend Eric, God, touch him right now, God. Continue to touch like never before, God. And, Lord, we be careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. We thank God for our bishop and that powerful prayer. Glory to God. Just thank God. I'm telling you, prayer changes.
God. Yes, God.
If you don't believe it, you can try it and see for yourself. Just pray and pray sincerely. Prayer changes things. Truly, I thank God. And at this time, we're going to turn the service over to, did I do my announcement? Be with us again on next Wednesday night, same time, same channel for Time for Reflection. And as always, there is a word for you. God has a word for you. And at this time, we're going to turn the service into the hands of Brother Dawg.
All right, Sister Mary. Unfortunately, today, I can't stay on here, but before I leave, I want to say a moment of silence from my brother Wheelchair. And with that being said, I close the service down. I mean, a lot of noise today.
Okay.
Amen.